FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 4:10:18, and be part of the show. Feel free to email us at kl@kerrylutz.com or use the hotline 914-424-4142. Well, hey, you know, things are serious. Political situation is volatile, but if you can't have a sense of humor, then you're probably a liberal or a Democrat, because I haven't really experienced many of them that are able to actually laugh. And, well, we've got Joel Gilbert with us now. You find him at joelgilbert.net. And Joel, filmmaker, the last time we talked, you just released Dreams from My Real Father, which is a little different take on former President Obama's literary endeavors. And your latest one is Trump, The Art of the Insult, which on the one hand, if you read that title, you'd think, gee, not a real fan of our presidents. But then when you delve into it, you find out there's a whole different issue being discussed here. But again, welcome back to the show.
Okay, thanks. Great to be here again. So the new film, Trump, The Art of the Insult, you can watch the trailer, also buy the DVD. It's at artoftheinsult.com. And you got to at least watch the trailer. It's just hilarious. And it's 95 minutes of really compilation of Trump during the campaign and into his presidency. And not only do you laugh for 95 minutes when you see all his, branding of all of his opponents and how he, maneuvered his way through 16 Republicans and then he beat crooked Hillary, but it really is a lesson in branding and marketing. Only when I made this film, I started to really understand Trump. I thought I knew Trump. Only when you see all this put together, you can understand how Trump was, and to this day, continues to really manipulate and control the media and his opponents with very edgy, brash marketing branding concepts. He comes up with these names for people like, Crooked Hillary, Lion Ted, Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un, and everything has a little bit of humor and a little bit of truth, and that's what makes it so effective. And in the film, of course, he starts with the biggest one people remember, of course, was low-energy Jeb.
Yeah.
Jeb was low-energy. And you could argue, Jeb had $120 million in the bank, but when he came up with this marketing term, it was over. Because it had a little bit of truth, a little bit of humor, and it just branded him as somebody that, couldn't get anything done. So to really understand what Trump is still up to today, he wakes up in the morning and, before he gets out of bed, he sends a couple tweets, and that's the narrative for the entire day. Before bed, he sends out a couple of tweets, and that's the morning news. So he really is a master at marketing. People forget that Trump was not really a real estate guy when he ran for president. He was an entertainment guy. He'd been in 30 years of, history of The Apprentice, Miss America, Miss Universe, professional wrestling, football, boxing. So he knew how to manipulate and deal with the media like no one else could.
Absolutely. Could not agree with you more. He's the master brander. My branding mentor worked with him many, many years ago, and you can see certain things that Trump does that are purely indicative where he learned it from. Well, there's so many insults and derogatory nicknames that you almost don't know where to start. There's Little Marco, there's Lion Ted, the Lion of the Senate, and you just go down the list. The only person he really didn't insult was one who was really open to it, was Chris Christie, but I think he was always an ally. He was a plant in the whole presidential election to help.
Well, they go back about 30 years. They were friends a long time. So
yes.
What happened is typically Trump was not always an aggressor. A lot of times he would just kind of lay back. And if you attack Trump, he would then brand you. For instance, Rick Perry, out of the blue, started attacking Trump. He said he's a cancer on conservatism. He should be excised. He's a carnival act. So as soon as Rick Perry opened up on Trump, he immediately hit him back with low IQ yeah. Perry. He sent out a tweet and said, or even said in a speech, he said, Rick Perry's trying to make us think he's smart by wearing glasses.
Yeah.
But Trump says, but it doesn't work because people can see through the glasses. So it was just hilarious. So within 3 weeks, of course, Rick Perry was out of the race. Typically, if you attack Trump, you've got 3 weeks left and you're finished. And what my film shows, The Art of the Insult, you'll see how Trump would just fly into these airport hangars on this giant airplane with three other people. He'd get out. There'd be 10,000 people waiting. And he would launch into these performance art acts where he would just launch into this material. It was very funny, very entertaining. And what's even more entertaining is the fact that there were always about four or five protesters from yeah. Hillary or Bernie, and they would start protesting at some point and saying, oh, you know, he's a racist, he's so mean. And Trump would immediately light up and he'd smile and point to the cameras, look over there, there's a protester. And yeah. instead of saying, you know, you're fired, like on The Apprentice, his new line was, get him out of here. So he'd say, get him out of here, and the crowd would scream, Trump, 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 you know, like Jerry from the Jerry Springer Show, but it would be Trump, yeah. Trump. And he would smile, and all the news organizations and networks would cut in.
Oh, they'd eat it up alive, right? They ate
it
up.
Well, but Trump knew this, and what he was doing is he was getting all the attention 24 hours a day. That's how he got $2 billion in free-earned media for his campaign. And the protesters and the networks, these leftists, didn't really understand they were actually helping him, and they thought they were trying to hurt him.
They were enablers. They were, reluctant enablers at best, and they really helped him win. And then when you contrast his crowds, his rallies with crooked Hillary's, she couldn't even fill a union hall or a high school gymnasium. It was loser all the way. So they had to keep her out of the public eye because people weren't showing up for the rallies. And the fact is, she was such a horrible candidate that every time she opened up her mouth, she could lose 10,000 votes.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason people like Trump is because, compared to Hillary, he said what he said, he meant what he said. He spoke from the heart. He was deeply authentic. It wasn't what he said, but how he said it was very authentic. And no one cared if he was a little off the wall sometimes. Whereas with Hillary, you really couldn't understand what she was talking about. And if you did figure it out, you know, you didn't believe her. So that's how Trump was so effective. So the film, again, it's artoftheinsult.com. You just really understand Trump for the first time. He's very warm. He's funny. He's having a good time. You know, he's having a great time doing it. And that's why he went on all those tour stops. I call the Trumpapalooza tour. Five times a day, he'd fly into these airport hangars and launch into all this performance art. And so the movie is a great lesson in marketing and branding. If you want to go out and, you know, sell hamburgers, you need to watch this movie because it'll teach you how to handle the competition.
Hey, and, you know, the other thing, Joel, is we all give people that we see on TV that come into our lives, or many of us with a sense of humor, give them nicknames. It's just a very human, natural tendency to do it. Like every woman who's getting divorced calls her husband the schmuck. Right? It's just what we do.
Trump was effective because these things were funny and had a little bit of truth to them. When other people tried it, like Rubio tried it on Trump, he's orange. His hands are too
little
small.
Little hands. What else
it
is
wasn't
little?
Really, it wasn't really funny. It was just kind of crude. So it didn't work.
It was inauthentic.
That's why Rubio was out after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So some of the nicknames are actually very New York kind of thing. It almost, you think back to all the mafia movies we've seen, you know, Muggsy and, all those crazy
Bugsy.
Funny names they have for, you know, Fat Tony and all that kind of stuff.
Tony the Snake Salerno or Persico.
On and on. So it really is kind of a New York thing, and Trump still uses it to this day to deal with opponents on the international scene. And guess what? It's working. Rocket Man wants to denuclearize and meet Trump. China's president is talking about removing tariffs. So Trump is a businessman, and he's bringing the great skills of American business to the government, which is something we've needed for a long time.
Hey, and when we talk about branding, the way Trump has built the Trump brand, granted, there's some failures, Trump water, Trump wine, Trump steaks, but they're kind of very minor. In Florida, where I live, up and down the coast, there are all these Trump buildings in New York, too, Trump, Trump, Trump. And yet he doesn't own any of these buildings, with the exception of his golf and country clubs. He doesn't own many buildings anymore. He just puts his name there, and then he requires them to meet certain design standards, certain standards for fixtures, for accessories, and for quality of the structure. And then they're on their own, and they can use the name forever. And it's brilliant. He makes far more off of these, off of naming buildings Trump, than he could off of building them himself.
Yeah, well, there is no risk. So Trump, you're talking about how he, at some point, he decided early on to simply license out his name for a building. So they'd give him, you know, 10% ownership or whatever it was, simply to call it Trump, you know, Trump Las Vegas, or Trump, you know, Rio de Janeiro, whatever it might be. And he didn't have any risk, and he'd have an ownership stake and wouldn't have to put out any money. So that was a pretty effective strategy Trump used to acquire a great deal of real estate. And, you know, you can see his tactics when he governs. He uses strength. He takes a stand. He defends his turf and principles. And he calls out opponents when they behave badly, whether it's, you know, Dianne Feinstein for illegally releasing committee transcripts, calling out Obama finally last week, you know, cheating Obama for authorizing, obviously, the DOJ and FBI to spy on a political opponent through the bogus Russian dossier that was used on and on. So, you know, he's definitely back is up against the wall, because the so-called deep state, or as I call it, the police state, is out to get him, because they don't want to stand for the changes that he wants to implement. And we'll see if this IG report that's supposed to be coming out any day, in fact, will name some big names and put together a scenario where the DOJ and FBI colluded with Russian intelligence to fool the FISA courts to use our intelligence agencies to spy on a political campaign to influence an election. People forget that Obama did this in 2012. He used the IRS to...
Yeah, weaponized. Suppressed.
Well, use it to suppress the conservative movement. You need to organize your party, your grassroots, and that's what the Tea Party movement did in 2010. Very effectively, they swept a lot of Democrats out of office, and Obama came down with the IRS and broke up all those organizations and prevented them from organizing for 2012, while the left was allowed to organize. That was a same thing, interference in the election, and it prevented Obama from being removed from office. So when he used the DOJ and FBI, it just wasn't surprising. That's what leftists do. They use the tools of state to stay in power, because their economic policies, their foreign policies are so detrimental to the country and so bad. They know they can't win elections without force. And that's been the history of leftist movements throughout the world.
Hey, so Joel, you've obviously reviewed a lot of video of the president on the campaign trail after, and you picked out a lot of highlights. What is the funniest thing that he said?
Oh, the funniest thing. Well, look, I've seen this 1,000 times in editing, 1,000 times,
and
I've been to many
laugh.
Screenings, and I can't stop laughing, even though I've already seen it. There's just so much funny stuff. I mean, Trump is just a natural comedian and performance artist. I can't even begin to tell you all the very, very funny things. Everyone is just, when you're least expecting it, he is hilarious, and he's also making a strong point, which makes it all that more funny. When I've been to screenings, people don't stop laughing from beginning to end. It's that funny. And even, believe it or not, Democrats actually laugh also. I'll admit, for different reasons. They're thinking, aha, you know, what a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, look at that terrible thing he said, while the Republicans will see it and laugh and say, you know, way to go. So it really is for everybody. And I just can't even begin to tell you. It's just nonstop laughter. It's also illustrated. It's not just Trump going through his routines. We actually show a lot of footage and historic footage that you've never seen before.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see it. I'll share with you one of my favorites, and that was,
please,
I think it was the second or third debate, where Rand Paul was literally getting the stuffing kicked out of him by the other contestants, and I'll call them contestants like it's a game show, because he basically turned the debates into a game show, and he was beat up by the so-called neutral moderators, and Trump looks at him and says, "You aren't having too good a night, are you, today?"
You know, well, one of the funniest things for Rand Paul is Rand Paul said, we can't have Donald Trump talking about how people are fat, how they're ugly, how they're bleeding. And then Trump responded. He said, look, I've never said anything about how Rand Paul looks, and believe me, there's plenty of material there to work with if I wanted to. So it's just nonstop. I mean, Crooked Hillary, and you know, he talked about Bill Clinton. He went over Obama's background. I mean, Trump is an amazing character, and I recommend everyone check out the trailer, and please, you know, buy the DVD. It's at artoftheinsult.com.
Artoftheinsult.com. Is there going to be a theatrical release here, Joel?
Well, we've had some select screenings around the country already. We've got a few more being lined up. It's listed on the website, but it's not a nationwide release of that kind of nature. Most documentaries don't get that national release. It's very, very rare.
Right.
But the film is doing very well. It's been number one on Amazon for some time.
All right. I have a great idea for you. There is a library / public showing room in Palm Beach, Florida. All right. And they show movies there. That would be a wonderful place to show the movie. And it's easily available.
You know, you can invite friends over, and everyone
I'll line it up.
Like I said, even Democrats. My movie, Dreams from My Real Father, about Obama's background, people remember that one, that it showed a ton of evidence that Obama's real father was not the Kenyan Obama, the student. That was, in fact, a sham marriage to cover up the fact that his real father was an American communist Soviet agent named Frank Marshall Davis, that Obama admits was raised him. And it shows how Obama was radicalized by this communist into this Marxist ideology. So when Democrats would see that with Republicans, typically after 3 minutes, they'd run out of the room and say, no, I don't want to know. But this movie, people really will watch it the whole way through.
Hey, well, I can't wait to see it. I'm going to try to arrange a screening in Palm Beach if I can pull it off.
And let me know. I'll be there.
I want you there for sure. I think it would just be a great place. And if we could do it on a weekend where the president is taking his much-needed break in Mar-a-Lago, that would be great, too. Hey, Joel.
Well, we'll invite him. We'll invite him
all
over.
Right. Just tell us website. Again, where do we find
please.
It?
Yeah, please. It's go to artoftheinsult.com, artoftheinsult.com. You can see the trailer right there. There's some reviews. You can buy the DVD and read about the background of the film. And I think it really captures both the spirit and the fascinating marketing approach of Donald Trump, how he entered the political realm and defeated all these establishment people, really changed the way that I think candidates will approach elections from now on.
And it's hard, though, because you really have to have this kind of quirky personality. You've got to have these unique abilities to find humor in what are very humorless people and humorless situations. Let's not forget that. And something we should have mentioned is there's nothing inherently funny about Hillary Clinton. Obama, I could argue there is. There is nothing funny about low energy Jeb. He is a humorless soul. Most of these people are very humorless people who really, the last time they cracked a smile was probably, I don't want to say what was going on in their stomachs, but they were probably children, you know, letting out, you know, a little bit of gas was the last time they smiled. And yet here he makes them a subject of ridicule. And also, Joel, go back to the Greeks. Ridicule was the most powerful form of rhetoric to tear apart your adversaries' arguments, because if your adversary's arguments could not stand up to ridicule, then they were not worthy of debate. And Trump has resurrected single-handedly ridicule as a political tool and a tool of debate. And for that, we need to be very grateful to him.
Well, don't forget the left actually did and does use ridicule and mocking through their media allies for many years. I got a email from somebody who saw my film, and he said, this movie is so fantastic, Saul Alinsky works for us now.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. He's pointing out, you know, Saul Alinsky was the Rules for Radicals, of course, one of the mentors of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton from the radical socialist Marxist movement in Chicago. And he recommended a lot of those kind of tactics where you use humor and ridicule to, instead of talking about the facts, because if leftists talk about the facts, And economics, it just doesn't work. So that's all they really have. But we have both reality and some humor now.
Hey, and that's the key. Yeah, the Democrats have always used ridicule and insults, but they never used humor. They really, if you consider Jimmy Kimmel to be humor, he's not humorous, all right? One or two Donald Trump jokes could be funny, like Jimmy Fallon used to do. Now the first 12 jokes of his show are about Trump. You know, you have to, you can't just be, you know, Mr. Insult. There's got to be some substance, and there must be humor, equal opportunity insulting and humor, like Seinfeld. But anyway, Joel, we got to run. Just tell us again the site where we go.
Yeah, please go to artoftheinsult.com, artoftheinsult.com. Check out the trailer DVD. I appreciate you having me on. And everyone, you'll really enjoy the movie. Please check it out.
Hey, I'm going to get it on Amazon right now. And thanks so much for coming on again. And great luck with the movie.
All right. Thanks again.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.